Well, I think the best way to describe what's gone on at the Gabba is an extraordinary 2 days of cricket in the Sheffield Shield. We've spoken about Victoria tonight already and what's gone on day one of their match against New South Wales. But let me just try and set the scene a little bit for you here. Queensland bowled out for 115 in the first innings. South Australia bowled out for 71 in the first innings. Queensland bowled out for 130 in the second innings. And tonight, at the end of day two, the Redbacks are 7 for 94 in their second innings. Ray Phillips has had the best seat in the house to watch wickets fall left, right and centre over the last 2 days for cricket.com.au, and he's jumped on the line to have a chat with me tonight. Hello, Ray.
G'day, Jack. How are you going? It's been carnage up here. Fair income. Absolute carnage. We've seen 37 wickets fall in 2 days of cricket for just over 400 runs.
Who says that this is a batsman's game?
Oh, dear, oh dear. I mean, we're not sure whether it's actually the Duke's ball. It's not the pitch. The pitch, we had a little bit of a tinge of green yesterday morning, but Jimmy Pearson, the Bulls captain, won the toss and batted. So he obviously thought, oh, well, you know, it's not as bad as it was last week playing against New South Wales when it was a bit of a minefield on days one and two. But he batted, but they got rock and rolled, as you mentioned just then, for 115. But it took them 64 overs to get to 115.
Yeah.
And then, of course, South Australia got bowled out for 71. But they came to day two South Australia at 7 for 67, trying to chase down 115. They lost this morning. In the first 15 minutes, of course, we started half an hour early because lost a bit of time last night to light. They lost 3 for 4 in 15 minutes. They're all out for 71 in 27.2 overs, which is, just over half of an ODI game, all right? So then Queensland led by 44, and so Queensland batted again and got rock and rolled for 130. So they scored in two innings 245 runs, and they, in all likelihood, could win this game in scoring 245 runs in two innings. And as you pointed out, South Australia in their second innings trying to chase down 175 for victory, the 7 for 94. So we've seen today 20 wickets fall for 228 runs.
Is that a commentator's dream? Would you personally prefer to see more wickets or more runs?
Well, you'd like to see a bit of a contest between bat and ball, but it hasn't really been a contest between bat and ball because the ball has dominated. Some of the bowling figures, obviously, are quite outstanding, as you can appreciate, with those scores of both Queensland and South Australia. I mean, in the first innings, Tom Andrews. Now, there's a stat for you. Last week against New South Wales, Stephen O'Keefe and Marnus Labuschagne, albeit Labuschagne's a part-time bowler, he bowled one over as a leg spinner.
Yeah.
Stephen O'Keefe is prolific wicket taker, bowled three overs. So all the quicks for New South Wales took the wickets, you know, Copeland and Abbott and company. And same with Michael Nisa and Luke Feldman for Queensland. But Tom Andrews, who's a left-arm orthodox spinner for South Australia, bowled before lunch on day one yesterday and took 6 for 40 from 24 overs. And he backed it up today with another three wickets. So he's taken 9 for about 65 in this match, where the two spinners last week bowled four overs.
Yeah. Does that kind of take away a bit of... I mean, obviously the seamers have done the damage, but I'm going to ask you about the Duke's ball, obviously, and what that's doing. Does that kind of confuse things a little bit if a left-arm ortho is taking wickets?
Oh, I think so, yeah. The Duke's ball up here, I don't know what it's like... in Sydney today, obviously a lot of wickets have fallen in Sydney today, and we saw a lot of wickets fall up here. Well, we saw 40 wickets fall up here last week. It was hooping around, mate. It was going around corners.
Yeah.
Not only was it swinging, but when it hit the deck, it was seaming either an off cutter or a leg cutter. And both Luke Feld, I've never seen two bowlers. Well, I probably have. I've watched a lot of cricket over my time, but Luke Feldman and Michael Nisa have bowled a lot around the wicket and bowling in swingers to the right-hander and out swingers, obviously, to the left-hander, but it's been going reverse. So it's been almost impossible to hit. And so it's been a bit lethal. I'm not sure that's been a good idea to face
the pitch. I think there's a few people starting to wonder that, particularly in the Victorian game as well. Ray Phillips joining me tonight here on the Sporting Capital, former Queensland chairman of selecting, as has been there watching all of the action between South Australia and Queensland. So with that in mind, Ray, what do some of the scores made in this game? So Labuschagne's 36 in the first innings. I guess you could include Jake Lehman's 23 in the first innings. Heslett's 37 and Jake Lehman 41 not out tonight. What are they really worth? You put your selector's hat on here. What those sorts of runs in these sorts of conditions, are they worth almost double?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And for the players, and Travis Head's missed out in this game as well. He got a duck in the second innings up here and he only scored 9 in the first innings. I mean, he's an incumbent test player. Joe Burns is an incumbent test player, as is Marnus Labuschagne. He's probably gone a little bit backwards, Marnus. You know, yep. All the talk with Smith and Warner, of course, and possibly Bancroft coming back into consideration. Players like that have needed to take full advantage over these last four Shield games to do that. And Labuschagne's coming off a pair from last week, don't forget. Burns picked up a duck in the second innings here. He only scored 11 in the first inning. So, I mean, as you can appreciate, with scores of 115, 71, 130, and not 7 for 94, not too many people have scored runs.
No, there's not much there. Hey, on Marnus, why? I mean, I did the two tests against Sri Lanka and thought he looked okay. In those, he's clearly a fighter and a scrapper, and he's clearly put his hand up to bat at number three because I think he sees that as an opportunity in the national team in the next few years. Why has he gone backwards? You would kind of hope that he would come back to Shield cricket full of confidence, in good form, and almost be too good for this level now.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? And because there's so much on the line as well. Well, Queensland up until last week was still really right in the possibility of playing in the Sheffield Shield final. But losing New South Wales last week, where they put the final nail in the coffin, and this is the bottom of the table clash between South Australia and Queensland. So they're playing for the wooden spoon here tomorrow. So if South Australia win, I think it may be too far behind. I think they'll still finish last and not be able to catch Queensland. They're on 23 points. I think South Australia on 14, something like that. But just on Labuschagne, you know, the first couple of matches he's played back, and they only had four Shield games plus the possibility of playing a final after Christmas. I think he's just gone back on the run a little bit because other players have really capitalised. Renshaw is certainly out of the running now, I would have thought. He just hasn't been able to score a run.
Yeah.
He's got a duck in the first innings and only scored 11 in the second innings. But you'll know that they're picking an A side that's going to be playing toward the end of the World Cup. So the players that are not playing at the World Cup will play in England with the A side, and they'll play against county side. So you would have thought that players like Burns, maybe Labuschagne, Renshaw, Head, Bancroft, maybe Maddison, players like that, Curtis Patterson, of course, they'll play against the red ball, the Jigs ball, in England leading into the Ashes series. And then the Australian selectors will pick that Ashes touring squad, of course, toward the end of the World Cup.
So, Ray, with that in mind, I mean, you're going to go back to the Gabba tomorrow morning at 7 for 94. If history's any judge from this game, you're going to be done pretty quickly. Have you got a game of golf booked for the tomorrow afternoon or something like that?
I've got a game of golf on Friday. I thought I was going to be here on Thursday. Yeah. So I might go and hit a bucket of balls tomorrow afternoon because, as it says, South Australia lost 3 for 4 in the space of 15 minutes this morning. But look, Jake Lehman has the opportunity, numbers-wise, to get 100 and get him over the line because they still need 81. He's on 41. So if he gets a couple of allies in Winter, Menny and Robin, well, he could become a real hero for South Australia tomorrow morning. Yeah. I mean, I saw his dad walk in this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Darren, of course, he's just been appointed the coach of the Heat for the next BBL season, walked in and Jake was not out 23, and he was one of three that got out, and I think Darren walked out again. I don't know whether Darren came back this afternoon, but he'll certainly be here tomorrow morning to see if Jake and weave his magic and get him over the line.
No, we'll watch on with interest. If Jake's in, it could happen very quickly. Ray, thanks for the chat. You've had an insane couple of days, so thanks for sharing it with us.
Jack, it's been extraordinary. I'm looking forward to day three, believe it or not. Not day four. It's going to be day three.